The sermon is from the Gospel of Matthew and the text also. It's Matthew chapter 25. I think the text will be the English Standard Version. And it's the parable of the 10 virgins. Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13. Could somebody get me a glass of water? Thank you. Be ready is the theme for this morning's sermon. Now our text, Jesus spoke these words, saying, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flask of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' And all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast. And the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Therefore watch, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" This Bible passage is one of the parables of the kingdom. Jesus is speaking, and he is telling a little story about the nature of the kingdom to come. Jesus tells other stories of the nature of the kingdom, especially in the Gospel of Matthew. Such as, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. It is like a net thrown into the sea, which gathered fish of every kind. It may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. Or it may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. The kingdom of heaven is like the master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Or maybe compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And then for our passage today, oops, there's a page missing here. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. The parables of the kingdom of heaven are enlightening to us. And this one we are considering today is one of two parables, which Jesus set in the context of a wedding celebration. It's a good passage for a wedding. As a matter of fact, my daughter was recently married, and she chose it for her wedding and asked me to preach the wedding. So I've adapted that for today. Yet it is a text that has more to do with the gospel than it does for marriage. And my daughter knew that too. She didn't want the wedding to be about her, but about Christ. Be that as it may, a kingdom parable in a context of a wedding celebration is fitting for any day, especially a Lord's Supper Sunday. For our vital view of this present life and the life to come. Our Lord says the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. Now, this is interesting. There are 10 virgins, but 5 are foolish, and 5 are wise. How bad is it to be foolish? And how good is it to be wise? Does it make a difference in the big scheme of things? We will see. The telltale sign of the foolish virgins was that they had their lamps, but they did not have extra oil with them. The wise virgins had their lamps, but also took flasks of oil with them. They brought along with them additional oil in case they needed it. That is why they were wise. Now what happens? As the bridegroom in verse 5 was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. All of them. All 10 virgins, being faulty and frail human beings. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept, and in and of themselves, all 10 virgins then were shown to have their own vulnerabilities. They weren't keeping watch like they should have been. They all were caught off guard. Because at midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. And all 10 virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. But the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. And now we must pause for some explanation. The bridegroom is the Lord Jesus Christ. The wedding feast itself is the end of time and the second coming of the Lord. The wise virgins are true believers. Born again, believers regenerated by the Spirit of God. The foolish virgins are mere professing believers. They say they believe, they even think they believe, but they don't really believe in their heart. Because they are not born again and are not regenerated by the Spirit of God. In other words, they profess to have Christ, but they don't really have Christ. Now, that is not to say professing Christ is not a good thing. It is. All true believers profess Christ. But the sad fact is, not every profession of Christ is a true profession of Christ. Some insincerely profess Christ, as represented by the foolish virgins, and some truly profess Christ, as represented by the wise virgins. Some believe in their heart with all their being, and some just believe in their head as a convenient thing. So part of the challenge of this parable for you and for me today is this: am I numbered among the wise or the foolish virgins? Am I truly united to Christ or not? The foolish virgins were not prepared. That is their folly. They didn't have the real substance of what their life was supposed to be about. Now, can you imagine the foolish virgins getting ready for this wedding feast? They were probably all done up, all very pretty, just like the other five who were wise. All 10 of them were just looking forward to this wonderful night to come, the foolish virgins included. Not a flaw in all kinds of things surrounding the main event, which was going to happen. You know how it is at the wedding celebration, all the maids of honor, boy, oh boy, they go to the salon ahead of time and get their nails done, and everything is just right. Not a flaw in all kinds of things that didn't account for anything. Think of how we garnish our lives with the stuff of life. With nothing that counts for anything, really. We want comfort, the comfort this world offers. We want status, the status this world offers. We want beauty as the world around us worships beauty, as the world itself sees beauty to be beauty. We want the success the world lauds and praises. We want the wealth, even just for the sake of it, because it's fashionable and respected and admired by the men and women of this world. That's where we want to be, in the fleshiness of our hearts. The one thing that was needful for all the virgins, and the foolish ones in particular, was to have enough oil for their lamps. That's it. That's all they really needed to have. That is the one thing that counted. Nothing else counted. They need to be ready for the king, for the bridegroom, when he came. And they need to have the supply of oil to be in their readiness when he should come. Enough oil for their lamps so they could light the way for the bridegroom, should he come at any moment, at any time. They knew he was coming. They just needed to be ready. And And that is the one thing that the foolish virgins did not have and were found wanting. How sad. How sad. They couldn't borrow from the others either, because the one thing that was wanting for them was not shareable by the others. The wise virgins had sufficient oil for themselves, but no more for anyone else. It's like salvation itself. If a person is saved, that is wonderful. But that person cannot give his or her salvation to another. The wise virgins did not say no, flat out, outright. You can't have what we have. They didn't say it that way. They said you have to go to the source, and that source really is God. Go to the dealers and buy for yourselves, is what they say. Maybe it's not too late. Maybe you can get oil, and you'll be okay. They're wishing them well and wishing them the best. But they can't give what they don't have to give in and of themselves. Because what they have really just came from God, and that's where you get what you need to be the wise virgin who is ready with the oil of grace and the oil of salvation and the oil of being joined to Christ. Go to the dealers and buy for yourselves, reminiscent of Isaiah 55, verses 1 and 2. Come, everyone who's thirst, come to the waters. He who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Go to the dealers. You might still be able to get your oil and be saved. This is where the wise virgins did their dealing. Without money, without price. There is grace. Go. Isaiah 55, verse 2. A word for the foolish. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which does not satisfy? This is how the foolish virgins had lived their lives. Spending money for which is not bread, for that which does not ultimately and really in any way genuinely satisfy. They needed Jesus, and they didn't have him. Now, we can imagine the foolish virgin scurrying about all in a tizzy. How will this turn out? Will they make it? And the answer is obviously no, they will not make it. Verse 10, and while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered to them, truly, I do not know you. I do not know you. But the wise virgins, they were there. They were ready. They went in with the bridegroom to the marriage feast. They were ready because of the grace and power of God. They were ready. Because that was operative in their hearts all the days of their lives, emblematic of their presence at that wedding feast, expecting the bridegroom to come on that special day. Watch therefore, verse 13, for you know neither the day nor the hour. We do not know when our Lord Jesus Christ will come, or when we will be called, even personally, each any and every one of us at the time of our death. In other words, the word here is make sure you are saved. Be sure you are ready for that great day. The day of the marriage supper of the Lamb and of his bride, the church. That is the true church, made up of true believers. Pastor, how do I become a true believer? I'd like to read you a passage in Acts chapter 16 about the conversion of the Philippian jailer. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. And when the jailer woke up and saw that the prisoners' doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Now, this is very good news. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. But you must have true belief. The foolish virgins all believed in their own way. I mean, they went to church, so to speak. They knew what was going on. They were at a wedding feast. They were willing to do their part when called upon. But as we know from the scripture text, they weren't ready. They didn't have what was needful when their lamps were flickering out. They had no supply of oil, meaning they had no supply of the grace of God. They had no true faith consistent with God's grace. And how is that known in their life, the life of the foolish virgins? They weren't really living for that night in their ordinary lives. The wise virgins, lived in readiness for the coming of the kingdom of the Savior. They had their necessary oil in the associated flask. The foolish virgins sought, but they sought too late for that grace. The prophet Isaiah speaks the words of the gospel, even in Old Testament times, again in Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7, "Seek. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For that is what is needful, the pardoning grace of God." the empowering grace of God, the saving grace of God. Will you be ready for your day of meeting the Lord? For the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. In one sense, all were foolish, that is, as we are, in and of ourselves. We're numbered among the foolish and not among the wise, for they all became drowsy and slept. But 5 were indeed not counted as foolish, but counted as wise, because they had the necessary supply. The God's grace supply, the Holy Spirit supply, the true faith supply, and not the pretend supply. Their supply that was evidenced by their good works of readiness, having an eye to Jesus. They had that oil in the associated flask. They had an eye to Jesus in all that they were and in all that they did. And that's what we need to be. The wise virgins at least knew what they were supposed to be about. And we should know what we're supposed to be about. We may not be perfect in it, but let us die trying. Let us die being found seeking the Lord and calling upon him while grace may be found. Whereas the foolish virgins, they were just clueless. They were there for the party because they knew there would be one. But they didn't know what the party was about. Not really, and not at all. And for many people, life itself is not much more than a party. It's about having fun, about enjoying life, where enjoyment of life is the main goal of life. And maybe, even in their own magnanimous way, they enjoy helping other people to do the same, that is, to just enjoy life. That becomes their gospel. Not that enjoyment of life is bad, but the gospel of Christ is much more serious. Enjoyment of life actually is good if the main goal is enjoyment of life in God. Knowing, loving, serving God in this world, and to enjoy him forever. Including the next world, the world to come, beginning in this present life and day. And so we enjoy the already not yetness of the kingdom of God in Christ, begun and present in our hearts, and brought to a kind of marriage consummation at the end of time. And enjoying God includes not only loving God, but loving our neighbors as ourselves, as at least one of the Reformed catechisms tells us. And the flip side of all that good word is this, from the good word, but it's the bad word from the good word. There is hell to pay for parting all your life away. Unless and indeed, if it is Christ who is the focus of the party of your life. In that case, the challenge of this text is for each and every one of us here to be ready. To be ready for his coming. To be ready for your entering into the heavenly kingdom of God. By our profession of faith, we ourselves are not the focus. Our focus in living is Christ. As an old hymn recites, Christ within me, Christ before me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in our hearts, that we might love and serve each other. And by loving and serving each other, we are fulfilling God's purpose in our lives and in this world. And in the Lord's Supper this morning, we commemorate to a certain extent something represented here, which is fairly emblematic and anticipates the great wedding feast of the Lamb and of his bride, the church. As does the general gospel call. In the general gospel call and in the Lord's Supper, there is an anticipation wherein there is an already present inauguration of our participation in the kingdom of God secured in and by the life and death of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whose active obedience we are justified, and by whose death on the cross our sins are fully paid. And that same Jesus, having risen from the grave, will at last come in glory as the great bridegroom for his wise virgins, his church faithful. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, you gave us the word of the gospel of the kingdom to be lived out in our lives, to communicate Christ's love in this world. Help us to be ready on the day of your coming, having lived expectantly and obediently in this earthly life, that we might fully enjoy everlasting life and love in heaven. Help us to love and serve each other, to be watchful and vigilant against the wiles of the devil, that we should escape his snares and be victorious in our obedience to Jesus. We ask our Heavenly Father that you be with each and every person and family here to make your face shine upon us. Bless and keep us all the days of our lives. Let us be instruments in your strong hand to help prepare others on earth for final entrance to the great wedding feast of the Lamb and of his bride, to the everlasting union your true saints possess even today, having already passed through the everlasting doors of the kingdom of our Savior. Amen.